Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by my two co-hosts, Cody Thompson and Bo Johnson. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Oh, I'm not supposed to ask anymore, but I did it together, so I think that's okay.
You know the answer I'm going to give. It's great.
Yeah.
I didn't know you weren't supposed to ask, but as my defiance, then I'm not going to answer.
There you go. That's a man of discipline. I've also got Kieran Amador and Matthew Lencioni in studio helping us out. So, Cody, what is the topic today?
Today is going to be a fun one. We're calling it Attention Deficit Advantage.
That's right. I'm really excited to talk about this. Really excited. I mean, we always say we're excited because we are, because every topic we talk about is something we're interested in, and we're glad to talk about it. But this one in particular, there's something about it that I really like.
Tell me more about that, Pat. Where did this topic come from? When I hear it, I immediately think, oh, it's not a bad thing that we have multiple things going on at one time and we can't focus. But what's behind that for you?
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's that the fact is our attention spans are getting shorter. And it's easy to complain about that and talk about how terrible that is. But in reality, it's just something that happened. I wish it didn't, but it's a reality when you have technology and you have so many things to choose from and you can go back and forth. So we have technology. It's made us less able to focus. It's a reality. And I think it's time that we said, okay, whether we like that or not, let's embrace it and figure out how we need to turn that into an advantage in our organizations and in our lives, for that matter.
Well, and Pat, I'll just say, anytime you can take a disadvantage, like with when my teachers say I have ADD, and turn it into a superpower, I love that topic. So I am fully in on embracing the advantage here.
So right. I think we immediately see that in culture, right? That we don't really watch movies anymore. We watch shows. Remember when commercials would be a minute long and now, you know, there's a 4-second commercial before YouTube. Everything is shorter, tighter, faster.
I think before we apply it to work, I think let's take a look at the evidence that this is already the reality in our lives, right? I mean, I was a screenwriter. I took screenwriting in college, and a script was supposed to be 120 pages long, 2 hours. And that was, and they said, yeah, you can go further. And a lot of movies did. People just do not have the patience for a 3-hour movie anymore. I mean, like, I just saw Elvis. I thought it was great. I will probably never watch it again.
Right.
Because it was great to go to once, but I cannot imagine committing to that again. And that's just the world I live in. Now, my wife and I will sit down at home and say, let's watch a movie. This happened just this weekend. And she was like, oh, let's just watch one episode of one of these shows that we watch. Then we watched 3 episodes of those shows, which is more than a movie, but we just couldn't commit to the movie. So I think this is a reality. And I think that's why so much talent is going into things that are shorter.
I think it's worth pointing out too, because, you know, if you think about this, sometimes people think it's a generational difference, like, oh yeah, those are just the kids these days. But it's actually like, I love that you're saying what you're saying, Pat. It's like our attention span has shrunk collectively, where it doesn't matter what generation you grew up. If you grew up on social media, it's the same, that things need to get shorter. Like asking a kid to read a book now, or anyone to read a book now, they're like, hey, can you just tweet me the 16 sentences that actually make up the book? You know, like nobody wants to commit to the full, like you said, a 3-hour movie, a 2-hour movie, or reading a book. These long experiences are getting shrunk down to more minuscule bite-sized timeframes.
I think there's also an expectation that you get to the point quicker. I think that we have an expectation in culture that I'm not going to linger and watch your commercial for a minute before you get to the point. And we like movies even that quickly get us involved in the tension, in the problem, and why am I here? If I have an email in my inbox and it takes me more than one scroll on my phone, I often will just mark it as unread and be like, I'll come back to that later, right? We want people to get to the point as quickly as possible.
Right. And this takes, so it's not just brevity, it's like effective brevity, right? It's like, how do we make things brief but effective? And that requires work. And that requires effort and time. And I love that quote that I thought came from Abraham Lincoln. But Bo, you told me it's actually Mark Twain, which makes more sense. And it's like, I'm sorry this letter is so long. I didn't have time to make it shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And making it shorter is good as long as you're really thinking about what they need to hear and how quickly they need to hear it.
Hmm.
The organizations that figure this out are going to have a huge competitive advantage, whether they're building a product or a service or communicating to their customers. And I think, you know, we launched this podcast and we said, it doesn't need to be longer than 15 minutes. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're shorter. But people write to us and say, I'm glad they're like that. I can get through it in one trip to the store or in my short commute, or I can listen to two of them on a longer commute. And I think that's the nature of where things are going. As an author, I want to make my books shorter. Now, granted, a book needs to be as long as it needs to be, but I don't ever want to put something in a book that doesn't need to be there that's going to make somebody hesitate to pick that up.
We're recording this around the holiday season, and it reminds me of how many of the old holiday movies are so slow. And we'll be like, oh, we should watch It's a Wonderful Life. And my daughter just went to a party where they watched White Christmas, which I've actually never seen. I was like, how was it? And she said, Dad, I think they made that movie before they invented microwaves. And I was like, well, tell me about that. And she's like, it was so slow. Isn't that sort of interesting? And it also makes me think about golf simulators, about how the problem of golf forever has been that you have to play 18 holes and it's too long. Well, people have begun solving that problem to say, you want to do this activity, we have the ability for you to get to the point in an hour. So now, Pat, I'd love to hear you say, tell me about work. How does that relate to work? And it's so interesting that your mind doesn't say, oh, let's bemoan that and try to get people to have longer attention spans. Instead, let's embrace it and maybe make changes in our workplace that align with the reality of the culture we live in.
Yeah. You know, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, although it's consistent with what we've said in the past, but we've learned it even more so. But meetings need to be much shorter. Now, we've gone through the death by meeting. We've talked about meetings forever, and we've talked even about how Working Genius plays into meetings. But the truth of the matter is, when I started work 30 years ago, a 90-minute meeting was not a rarity. And I think that we at the table group and many of our clients have learned that you can solve a problem in 20 minutes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can stay really focused for that length of time. And after that, we start to wander. And so I think whatever our meetings are today, we need to ask ourselves, could we make them more effective if we made them shorter and more focused?
Well, I'm not going to sit idly by and let Bo besmirch the game of golf on a podcast that I'm on. So first of all, there are no problems with golf, and golf simulators are great. But I will jump into this meeting conversation because there's a lot wrong with meetings. And I love this. Like, one thing actually a good name for you, brought to our work environment where he and I share an office is he has these sand timers. Like, oh, he's holding it up right now. He's got these, he has a 3, 5, 10, 15-minute timer. And oftentimes right before we're going to have a meeting, he'll say, hey, how long do you think we could do this in? And we'll flip a sand timer and say, I think let's try to get as far as we can in 5 minutes in this meeting. And more often than not, we've gotten right to the point. It's like what you described in the movies. Like, there's no fluff. There's no room for fluff or time for fluff. You set the context, you describe what the problem is, and then you try to get to a solution. And sort of putting it through that crucible of a shorter time has made it more effective, I feel like.
So I have an observation there, Pat. I'd love to hear you respond to it. Is this is actually perhaps not so much about pace as it is about length. Because when I'm in meetings with you guys and we can have really, really effective short meetings, it's not that we're turning that podcast on 2x speed, right? It's not that we're trying to talk faster.
Nope.
It's exactly what you said, Cody. We're cutting through the fluff to say, imagine where we would be an hour from now. Let's just start there. And let's start with trust for each other to know I don't have to anticipate every objection and get you to weigh on every detail. Let me just have the courage to pull up and shoot, as Cody loves to say, and go for it. Yeah, Pat, what do you think about that?
I think that I love movie making, and I love when I learn screenwriting. And here's one of the things, and I think it totally applies. I love liberal arts because it applies to other all parts of life. And they said the best movies, the best scenes, you enter the scene as late in the process as you can.
Wow.
And you get out of the scene as early as you can. And I've developed a whole new appreciation for editing. You know, when you see like edited by, and we tend to think editing, what is that? Or they give the Academy Award for editing. Editing is so critical because they get the scene that they filmed and they said, we don't need the first minute of this. Everybody already knows what's going on. Let's start there. And then after, at the end of the scene, they're like, hey, why are we still showing this? Let's cut. And editing takes a, and I really think they should redo the Elvis movie and do a shorter version, like a 90-minute version. And I bet people would be watching it at home more because they don't need the slowness sometimes. Now, there's some things in life that have to be that way, but not everything.
Well, and I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Pat, that quote from either Mark Twain or one of the founding fathers around, look, I'm sorry, this is so long. I didn't have time to make it shorter. Is it's actually harder to make things shorter. It's harder to have a meeting, a short meeting, because you have to put in the work of distilling down the information. And so it requires more effort. And we've talked about this too, Pat. There's like this, if we're trying to anticipate objections, there's this other objection out there to short meetings of like, well, if this is important, it should take more time. Like, oh, if we're having an important meeting around our strategy or our product launch, it needs to be a whole day. And we have to break that psychological principle, because there's so many important things and decisions that you can make that if you put in the right amount of effort to shorten that process, you can get there faster. It doesn't mean that you need to spend a half a day on your strategy.
Yeah, you just need to be more intentional, more focused on what matters most. There was a book called Essentialism. I actually thought it was a little longer than it needed to be. But but it's about what's the essence of this, and let's cut right to that. Now, the one exception to this would be the meeting you have to have once a quarter where you have to breathe. Like to go off site and step back. That's where I think sometimes we need to, it's like a retreat and there's a time for that. But our weekly meetings or our topical meetings, oftentimes if we just cut out the fat, we can actually get more done in less time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the person at that meeting you're describing, Cody, well, first of all, Abraham Lincoln was not one of the founding fathers. So let's just make sure we clarify that we know that.
Okay.
Okay, Karen admitted we were both thinking that.
So if you're in a meeting, and we've all been in meetings that are like this, that are sort of painful, is you have 12 people in the meeting and everybody gives a 5-minute update and you're an hour in and you've gotten nothing done. It actually takes discipline and focus to be able to take your 5-minute summary and distill it down to 3 sentences. And the person who will benefit the most from that is you. But if you have a culture where the person who talks the most is the most important, they'll never really be able to get there. But if you as an individual contributor or a team leader can say, I'm going to push you all, or I'm going to push myself to know my subject area so well that I can give you a summary in 2 minutes about how we're doing. Not even 2 minutes, 3 sentences. Cody, what do you think?
Well, as we're having this conversation, one of the things that strikes me a little bit is, and I'm not trying to make every podcast a Working Genius podcast, but part of what has made our meetings more effective is knowing where we're at in those 6 activities that make up Working Genius and saying like, okay, we're here to make a decision, or we're here to execute on a decision, or you know, overcome obstacles. Because I think part of what makes meetings longer is sort of not knowing what elevation you're playing at, or not knowing what the purpose of the meeting is. So part of what we're doing when we flip that timer, Bo, is we know, are we coming up with new ideas? Let's take 10 minutes and just throw a bunch of ideas on a whiteboard. Or are we deciding? Are we refining them down and doing the discernment process? So I think it's both. The form and function of it is really important. The idea of trying to smash it into a smaller window for the sake of our own attention spans and for the sake of only getting the most relevant information in there is great. And then also knowing what is the actual clarity around what type of meeting we're having. I think both of those things would make it much better.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think that I remember when we figured out this, and this sounds really important, when we figured out that the ideal team player, the working genius, and the five dysfunctions of a team, we call that the teamwork trifecta, you know, the three things. Tracy and I had 20 minutes before we had to leave for somewhere. And I said, and we were not going to have a meeting. And I said, hey, let's go see what we can get done in 20 minutes. And we figured it out in that period of time. I really think that it's possible that if we had had 2 hours, we might not have seen it because we wouldn't have been so focused. I don't think innovation is a function of time. I think it's a function of timing, you know, of like being in the right place at the right time. Hey, there's something out there that people who've been around for a while, and some companies still do it, are aware of, and it's called an ops review. And ops reviews were what we used to do at companies, and they would have them for like a half a day or a day. And you'd literally, the executives would get in a room, and all the executives below them would come in, and each of them would be given like 2 hours to go through a slide presentation. And everybody talked about how mind-numbingly boring it was, but they also said these were the most important meetings of the month. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's one of those things that very few companies are doing it that way anymore, because they just realize, just like college professors should realize, if people seem sleepy in the when they're there, they're probably not really getting it. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that, in spite of the fact that I don't like TikTok and all these things, and kids are getting addicted to like 8-second bursts of energy, I think when it comes to the workplace, we shouldn't take advantage of the fact that people are willing to sit there for too long, because we don't need that time. We want to be both effective and efficient, and I think that's possible.
Mm-hmm. A pushback to this idea, Pat, would be, well, what about the team members that need to weigh in to buy in? Isn't it true that as a team leader, I should let everybody be able to speak their voice and to be able to say their opinion about it? And that can be time consuming. Tell me about that. How do you lead a meeting that is both, you know, tight, but also allows for team members to be able to weigh in?
So I think what it is, it's a great question. I think we have to build trust and have great relationships so that when we go to the meeting, we don't have to reestablish that and be overly careful. Because half the time, I think we go into a meeting and we treat each other like we don't know each other. It would be like a church meeting that we only have once a quarter, and we have to go in and do all that. And we have to go, hey, you guys, here's a problem to solve. We all know each other. We all care about each other. Let's go. And you dive right in.
Yeah. You know, Pat, the other thing I would add is, like, I think that whole way into buy-in thing, that when people hear that, it's not like in a meeting you go, and now I'd like to turn the floor over to my colleague here, and they stand up and they get to present their opinion. Oftentimes the way we'll do it is we'll say, hey, we want everyone to weigh in on this. Would take the next 30 seconds and write down what you think this product should cost, or what you, when, like, to get people's opinion. And then we just fast track that. We'll go around the room and say, in a matter of 2 minutes, everyone's given an opportunity to weigh in. That didn't mean that everyone needed a stopwatch with 5 minutes on it to present to everyone, but they know that they've been heard. So I feel like there's a little, like, there's a behavioral thing in there where it's weighing in does not mean you get the floor and you get to tell 10 stories to prove your point. It's just about being heard.
Yeah. And so we're not saying that every meeting should be 20 minutes. You're going to have a 2-hour meeting. Trim the fat and make sure you're getting right into that and you're wrestling with that, and then take a break so you can come back in. Don't let it slow. You know that, you know what the greatest thing, I love movies. The greatest quality of any movie is that it never loses your interest. And I don't care what it's about. If you, at the end of your favorite movies, you go, how come every time I can watch that, I just feel the whole thing, it just keeps moving. We're not supposed to drift into lulls. And that's how our meeting should be. That's how our presentation should be. If you're presenting to people, you should practice and go through it and go, hey, you know something? I think people would probably get bored right around here. I'm going to cut that out. And then let them ask a question about it.
Trim the fat. That was the founding father's quote I was looking for earlier. So that was
you nailed it. There's that flag. Trim the fat.
You know, I know that in a lot of organizations, kind of the organization is led by the calendar. You have an Outlook calendar or a Google calendar, and you've got to get meetings 2 weeks ahead of time. And so what happens is we end up defaulting to scheduling meetings to be an hour. And then what often happens to team members is they look at their day and they just have our meetings stacked on top of each other. So first of all, it is a great gift to people if you give them time back. You do not have to fill that hour.
Yeah.
And second, wouldn't it be interesting, instead of defaulting to, oh, let's just take an hour to think about that, to really examine, I wonder how much time we really need to be able to do that work. Now, I know both of you guys, kind of a plan is a four-letter word for you, but as you think about somebody in that context or environment, any other advice you would have if they're not just, you know, a small team in an office together, they're having to schedule time like that?
Well, I love what you said. And don't schedule 3 minutes, I mean, 3 meetings in an hour and make them all 20 minutes, because that is going to drive people crazy. Schedule one meeting for the hour and get it done in 35 minutes and be glad that you can do that. So I love that. Mm-hmm. People pay me to give presentations. They're not like, use all your time. If mm-hmm. I get done 5 or 10 minutes early, they're like, great. You know, so we tend to think like, things happen on a clock. It's really the, mm-hmm. the message and the effectiveness that matters. So I love what you said about don't use all your time. You know, the other thing I like is make sure at the very beginning of the meeting, kudos to Stephen Covey, it's like begin with the end in mind, mm. right? Mm-hmm. And say, here's what success would look like. How quickly can we get here? Versus let's just go through the motions.
That now,
maybe it was Mark Twain who said, begin with the end in mind, or one of our founding fathers, like, you know, exactly. Theodore Roosevelt.
We're misattributing a lot of quotes here, and I love it. The other thought I had to that question that Bo posed that I've heard you talk about a lot, Pat, is this idea that there's like a theory out there that work expands to the amount of time that you're allocated mm-hmm. to it. So like, you know this when you're in school, you have 3 weeks to write a paper. You don't sit down on day two and write the paper and be done with it. It expands to the amount of time that you have allocated. So I like the idea of, you know, yes, if you think you can get a meeting done in 35 minutes, don't schedule an hour meeting potentially on the calendar.
I have a sort of funny story possibly about that. Last week, we had an art gala for our kids, and they all waited until an hour before the art gala to start their art project. And so my wife came out and she said, can you please come and give these kids a lesson in procrastination? And I was in a little bit of a punchy mood. And so I said, okay, kids, listen up. Procrastination is a very present help in time of trouble, number one. And then Nicole, of course, is elbowing me. And then I said, kids, number two, you can just as easily undercook a hamburger as you can overcook it. And I actually think that there's some truth to there. That sometimes, Cody, when you're in a meeting, in a conversation, part of the art is knowing when to cut it off. Because mm-hmm. filling the time might actually lead to less clarity. You might actually yep. know 20 minutes, 35 minutes in, and know, okay, we need to end this meeting now because continuing to simmer on it and think about it is going to actually make us less clear. And it would be better for us to go do this plan with clarity than it would be for us to continue to just sit here and talk about it.
Yeah. You know, and that actually is related to what I was going to say is like, you should end meetings when they're done. This was related to that college paper thing is like when they say write a 30-page paper, well, the last 5 pages of that paper are generally, you're really working hard to figure out what to put in there. And if they said every movie had to be 2 hours, there's some movies that should have ended at 90 minutes that they're just filling up. So the same is true of our meetings. That principle applies. Like if you say it's an hour, and you're 40 minutes in, just say, I think we're done. We don't need to beat this thing into the ground anymore.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what I just thought of? So when I watch things on YouTube now and those commercials come up that are 5 seconds long, when I don't cut it off, I'm like, wow, they did a great job in the first five seconds of making this so interesting that I want to know more. And secondly, some of them, they don't need to be more than 5 seconds. And I see an effective ad and I go, I just got everything I needed out of those 5 seconds. And mm-hmm. so I think it's actually prompting people to get better. And now when I see a slow commercial, because I'm watching a football game and it's live and I actually have to watch the commercial, which really pisses me off. Well, it doesn't piss me off, but it's never fun. I think, what were they thinking? They're stealing time from me. And I think less of their product because they're taking advantage of the fact that they have my attention for 30 seconds or a minute. So it's a good thing to really wrestle with this and make it as short as possible. And what's ironic about this is a longer podcast than our normal one, but it's still only like 25 minutes. And I think we're about ready to wrap up. Am I right, Bo?
I think so.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Hey, thanks for listening to us, everybody. Remember, let's turn attention deficit disorder into attention deficit advantage in our organizations. All right, we'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.